T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
He's one of the best to do it. His segments with Dan Orlovsky on ESPN go viral every week. They're so good. He's a Super Bowl champion with the Steelers, and he's nice enough to join us every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. He is the great Ryan Clark back with us. Ryan, we're going to start you with something off the wall. Did you hear what Doug Whaley had to say about Mike Tomlin today?
I did.
Okay.
LSU. As an LSU alum eating gummy bears right now, I'm pretty dang happy about it.
What kind of gummy bears? You don't settle for the generic stuff. You go right to the, what are those called?
Haribos?
Haribos. Yeah. You do the...
Oh, no, those are too hard, bro. These are called Albanese.
Oh, I know those,
yeah, they're like
too.
Real, they're like gluten-free, fat-free, low-sodium. They're real bougie.
I just saw a story that a second-grade teacher was handing out Sour Patch gummies to kids who did well on tests, but they were the ones with weed in them.
Second grade?
That's not good.
No, yeah.
That's
Don't look
good.
It up, Chris.
Second grade?
Yeah, accidentally.
Kid,
lady, give me those gummies. I'll go back to school. Give me the gummies.
That's a very quiet classroom, though. That's smart.
Very hungry classroom,
very
too.
So,
do you put any credence in this?
What I'll say about the LSU thing, right, is that it's not the first time I've heard his name, and I'll just say that.
Do you think he's somebody who would enjoy the different lifestyle that a college football coach has to lead, as far as you got to meet with boosters, you've got a lot of stuff outside of just talking and teaching ball that you've got to do at a program with that kind of, you know, tradition?
Yeah, so here's what I say about it. It's a lot of extra stuff. I think it's a difference between do I think he'll be good at it and do I think he'll want to do it? Because he hasn't had to do it. You mm-hmm. know, for the last decade and a half, he's been coaching the most storied franchise in NFL history, franchise with, you know, just a reputation of having stability at the head coaching position. But this team is going to be in transition. You know, you're going to transition from Ben Roethlisberger to whomever. You're going to be a different team going forward. And I think it would have to be an amount of money offered to him that would make him stupid to turn down.
Now,
you know what I mean? It'd have to be an amount of money that you walk home and you tell your wife, babe, they offered me this, and she calls the U-Haul truck immediately.
Now, I think I have this right. You used to fundraise for LSU for a very short amount of time, didn't you do?
Yes, that was my job, man. Tiger Athletic Foundation.
Yeah, I remember that. So you can answer this question better than anyone we'll talk to all week, all month. Do you think LSU could offer Mike Tomlin the kind of money you're talking about if they really wanted to?
Hey, bro, we'd figure out a way. Trust me. We'd get it done. I think, you know, the big thing is this. Now, here's what I'll say about it.
Mm-hmm.
LSU could definitely fundraise the type of money. Scott Woodward, who's our athletic director, is a big game hunter, right? He's not – if we end up getting some up-and-comer, if we end up getting some coordinator from some school or some coordinator from the NFL, it's because we struck out everywhere else, and the job at LSU isn't the job we thought it was, or the people who live here or the people who go to school here think it is. Here's the other thing about Mike Tomlin. You're coming off of a coach who, for all intents and purposes, did a great job in 2019, loves LSU, but there's been some off-the-field stuff, right? Some of those things have resurfaced, or some of those things have surfaced, I should say, in the wake of him, you know, being let go.
Mm-hmm.
He also is a coach who very publicly mishandled all of the social justice all of the social justice movement, right? He didn't come out and make a statement about George Floyd. He never made a Black Lives Matter statement. His team had to stage a walkout in order to even just march and feel supported. Even after that, once they get, you know, to the building where he's supposed to meet them, you know, he comes hours after they get there. So it was all these things that go on, right? You go on Fox, you say you love Trump. So all these things go on. And if you're going to get a guy, right, if you're going to get a Black guy, now, you got to remember, if Mike Tomlin's hired here, he's the first African-American head coach in the history of Louisiana State University football, right? That's the first thing. You're coming off of a coach who, based on how you see it, you can say racially insensitive. A coach who, from a perspective of his personal life, has put some things out there that aren't necessarily glowing. You can't say nothing about Mike T like that, right? There's nothing he's done as a husband, as a father. There's nothing that he's done as far as the way that he relates to all races that you can have a negative outlook on. And so for us, for LSU, it's a home run. But you got to say, too, Mike T, do you want that stress? The stress of 18 to 21-year-olds, the stress of fundraising, and the stress of having to kiss butt and kiss babies in order to get money, the stress of having to go into 17-year-olds' houses and tell them how great they are.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a huge change for him if that's something he can do. But do you know who will be campaigning the hardest if it ever comes about?
Marcus Spears.
Who will be in the interview if he actually comes for it? I don't care if it's a Zoom call, y'all. I don't care if I got to be on a damn carrier pigeon. I don't care. I will be in the meeting. I'm going to have on Mike T t-shirts, a Mike T hat. I'm going to have a finger on that says Mike T's number one in purple and gold. I'm telling you, I'm trying to take y'all coach. So y'all just need to know that.
Are you going to take Matt Canada back with him?
Hell no.
I'm glad you beat me to the punch on the Canada joke, because that's where I was headed. Hey, Ryan, I have one more serious sort of question about that, because you alluded to it right there. You got to deal with 18 to 21-year-olds, which is a lot different. You know, I know there's some guys who can be immature at times, even in the NFL, but you're dealing with grown men who are professionals. We hear Mike Tomlin talk about that. I think when Jason Garrett wanted to be called coach or whatever, and Mike Tomlin was asked about that, and he said, you know, I stress to guys, call me by, you know, my first name. We're professionals in a professional setting. Every sense I get from him is that he loves that part of the job, that these are all paid professionals, that there's a certain baseline standard that's expected of everybody, and you don't have to worry about moving those goalposts for a kid who's 6 months removed from being the big man on campus in high school. That's the hardest part for me to imagine for him, is doing that part of the job in the college ranks.
Oh, no, it would be a strange change for him. I mean, you have to realize when he starts to coach for us, I think James Ferry is older than him, right? I'm close to his age. And so you were dealing with people that you could have very direct, very honest conversation with, and have it at a level of respect where both sides can understand perspective, understand where the other's coming from, shake hands and walk out and be adult men and go about their business. Totally different in college. In college, you got to deal with moms, too. You got to deal with dads who, by their kids, not getting a lot of playing time. So I think it's a long way away. I think it's a ton of conversation to be had. And I think had this happened in Mike T's fourth year as an NFL coach, it's probably a different conversation than it happening in his, 15th, 16th year or whatever it is. And now saying, you have to give those things up, because for no matter how we see this season going, how everything is happening, Mike T is truly never bombed, right? Like there are going to be people who are going to talk about the number of playoff wins since the Super Bowl. There are going to be people that talk about the debacle near the end of last season, even right now being a below 500 team. But when you think about the Pittsburgh Steelers, they've just never, they've always competed under Mike T. They've always fielded a team that you feel like went out and played hard. And So it's not like he'll have to make this decision like Nick Saban made the decision. Mm-hmm. Nick Saban made the decision very shortly into the tenure because he realized he didn't fit. Mike T fits.
Absolutely.
Right? If the Pittsburgh Steelers don't want Mike T next year, you think Mike T can't get a head coaching job in the NFL?
Right.
And so there's so much that goes into it. I think I'm more fan in this one than I am
sure.
actual analyst.
Totally get it. Ryan Clark with us. So the Steelers have competed the last 2 weeks. They've found ways to win. They're at 3-3 at their bye week. One of the talking points this week here has been Devin Bush, 10th pick in the draft, supposed to be the Ryan Shazier replacement, had so many expectations and so much put on him, Ryan. And he's getting taken off the field in big spots for Robert Spillane, who's undrafted. And Keith Butler came out this week and said there's something Spillane does better than Bush. And I want to know from your perspective, the guy is just about a year removed from ACL surgery. Can he still use that as an excuse or for a pass for the way he's played so far this year, Devin Bush?
Well, you know, we don't give passes. That's not the way life works when you're getting paid to do a job. You know, you don't get a pass. If you're out there, you're expected to perform. I think the other side of that is, you know, you can go back to his rookie year. There's obviously the injury the next year, and you're looking at him now and you're saying, this isn't the level of play that we expected to get from him. And I think what makes that hard is you look at a very similar player in the same draft class with the same first name, actually, named Devin White.
Yep.
Right? And you watch him play, and you see his impact, and you see how he affects the game, and you say, you know what? Their Devin is a lot better now, Devin, and they weren't picked very far away from each other. And one thing we do know is Devin White is not being taken off the field in any situation, much less critical situations. Now, on the other side of that, I am a Robert Spillane fan. I have been since Tennessee game when he made me write about Derrick Henry. I will cheer and root for Robert Spillane until the day they take me off of TV. But in the general sense of it, being a guy who is very Robert Spillane-ish, right, that dude's not supposed to outplay the first rounder,
mm-hmm.
right? There's never supposed to be a situation where the business of it doesn't even come into play enough to say this is our first-round draft pick, this is our guy for the future, we're going to leave him out of the field. Where you're understanding, in order for us to win, Robert Spillane needs to be on the field. And that's a difficult place to be. That's a place in maybe accepting that you were wrong. That's a place of maybe accepting that you haven't developed. That's a place of maybe accepting that the injury is not allowing him to be what you thought he was going to be. But that's difficult, especially a team that is so heavily reliant on great linebacker play. You know, and if you look at that position has basically gone Larry Foote, Lawrence Timmons, Ryan Shazier, now Devin Bush. You know, and when you look at it in that sense, that position has always been extremely impactful for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and not getting that level of play right now is probably, for a guy like Keith Butler, who's seen the best of the best at that position with this team, probably very difficult for him.
Ryan, we were watching Sunday Night Football, obviously, and Chris Collinsworth made some waves. He talked about Cam Hayward. He said Cam Hayward is a Hall of Famer. That got people debating. John Clayton went on with us earlier today, does not feel the same way as Chris Collinsworth.
Actually said Tua was better.
Yeah, he said Tua when he's healthy. He said Tua when he's healthy is better than Cam Hayward. That got us really kind of like, huh, in the studio. How do you evaluate Cam Hayward and his Hall of Fame credentials, him as a player overall?
I think Cam is definitely a dude that's going to get talked about for the Hall of Fame. Cam right now, if you pay attention to PFF and the grades, Cam is graded higher than Aaron Donald.
Yep.
Cam has been extremely impactful throughout his career. Cam is a perennial Pro Bowler. Cam has been an All-Pro. And I don't see how you can look at those credentials, look at his impact still late in his career, and say he won't even be considered. Now, I think what happens when you play in this defense, especially at defensive end in the 3-4, it's not made for you to get the gaudy sack defensive end numbers, right?
Yeah.
That's not how it works, right? Your impact is different. In my opinion, and, you know, I'm sure people are going to be like, Ryan Clark is stupid and he doesn't know any football, and that's fine. I don't care. But in my opinion, a guy like Aaron Smith, if he plays somewhere else, gets so much more credit for being a great player than he got in Pittsburgh because his job wasn't to go get those gaudy numbers. But you could bet your tail every week we're playing somebody, or if we're playing somebody and I know someone on their staff or they're studying the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, they're asking me about the dude with the big old booty that wears 91. And so Cam Hayward, to me, is similar, right? Cam is similar, a better player, a better athlete, and also his longevity has been much more sustained because of lack of injury. So I do believe that Cam Hayward has a very strong Hall of Fame case. I don't believe he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I can be honest about that. He's not Aaron Donald. But to say that Cam Hayward ain't better than Stephon Tuitt, and no disrespect to Tuitt, good player, not Cam Hayward, right? Cam Hayward is a guy who's really transcended or really crossed over eras with the Pittsburgh Steelers and been good in both. And when you can do that, man, in Pittsburgh, in a team with such historically great defensive players and be a standout there, you know, you belong in the Hall of Fame conversation, and I think Cam Hayward will be in it.
Ryan, we're also trying to get to the bottom of James Washington's disappearance with Juju out, and we're getting different answers. Tomlin said matchups. The coordinator, Canada, your guy said it was an injury-related thing. You know, I was trying to have this conversation with Chris earlier, like, when a guy comes out and says, trade me, and it gets out there, and you put the message out that I want to be somewhere else, even though it's a business and it's a professional, it's still a team. And I just wonder if a coach would see that or hear that and not, like, think differently about a guy. You know what I mean? Like, Tomlin's getting up there preaching, it's all about the team, the pack is the pack, all of that. And then you've got a guy that says, I don't want to play here anymore. So kind of walk us through that, if you could, as a guy that obviously played for the Steelers and gets the business.
Yeah, we're all human, right? Like human emotions play a part into what we do. But from what I know of Mike Tomlin, winning is above everything, right? Winning trumps all. And if they feel like James can help them win, I would expect him to be playing. Unless it's deeper, unless he's a guy who isn't working, unless he's a guy who's coming to the practice facility on South Water every street and every day and behaving like Ben Simmons, then, you know, I would wonder what's keeping him off the field. I mean, we've seen that he could be effective in the deep part of the field. Playing him probably allows Deontay and Chase to move into the slot at some times, and now you have the deep threat, somebody that can take the top off of the coverage. And so it is strange, you know, and it is something that has been kind of talked about and something that, you know, I've gone back and forth with people about is, have they just totally lost any faith in him that he can produce, or is the relationship fractured in a way because of things we don't see? Because I can't see it being because you ask to be traded, because they didn't trade him.
Yeah.
When a dude asks to be traded and you don't want him, you just trade him. And I don't think that Kevin Colbert, the GM, or Mike Tomlin, the head coach, is stupid enough to say, we're going to take a roster spot just to be petty, just to keep you, just to not give you what you want, and even if you deserve to play, not play you. And so I would think it has to be something deeper there that maybe we don't know, or maybe Mike Tomlin and Matt Canada are being extremely honest about the reasons they feel he isn't playing.
Ryan Clark, ESPN, and if Mike Tomlin does, in a fantasy land, take the LSU job, probably his defensive coordinator and recruiting coordinator there. Ryan Clark, everybody.
Here's what's funny. Because Doug said that today, I got to ask that question, right?
Yep.
I got to ask the question, if he came, would I coach?
And?
And I'm about 99% sure I would.
Let's go.
You leave Orlovsky in that segment every Tuesday to coach? I love that. You can't leave. I love that segment.
Dude, you cut him open, he bleeds purple and gold.
I know, but I've become, listen, unbelievable career on the field, and now he and Orlovsky are like the greatest duo
in forever. It's a
calling, Chris.
It's a calling.
It's like Miami Vice, except football analysis.
Hey, man, I know a little bit about playing the position, and I'd love to pass it on. It would just have to be the right situation, and that would be a pretty dang good one.
Yes, it would. Ryan, you're the man. Enjoy those gummy bears. We'll see ya.
Man, have a good one.
There you go. Text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. How about that? It's not the first time I've heard it. Didn't that kind of knock you back a little bit?
Well, I mean, I it's weird, though, that now we've had two hot take merchants come on our station today and talk about that. Funny how that works.
I'll tell you what. One of the things we need to do a better job of is make sure the mic is on for Craig when comments like that get made. Because the initial laugh is hysterical. He's like, oh!
What, the one I just made?
Like, or that comment you just made about hot takes, Merchant. All of a sudden, Craig in there, I just heard him go, that's pretty.
I liked it.
Pinocchio in the strip
he
club.
Woo! All right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.